This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. We've been talking a lot about systemic racism in this economy and what we can and ought to do about it. And one part of that has to be what the government can do. And there is a lesson, as there so often is, in history. Back in the late 1960s, a civil rights leader by the name of Floyd McKissick had an idea. A new town built from the ground up in rural North Central North Carolina, built by and for black people, called Soul City. The town would be built, as I said, by and for black people.
Which was to be designed to be sort of a showcase of black capitalism.
That's Devin Fergus. He teaches history and black studies at the University of Missouri. Floyd McKissick, the guy with the idea, had served in World War II. He'd seen the success of the Marshall Plan in rebuilding Europe, and he thought to himself, what if we used government money to fix the problems poor black people were facing in the American South? He gets support up to and including from President Richard Nixon on the condition that he change one thing.
His original imagination was this was going to possibly be an all-black project. But then the federal government stepped in and said that this would be a violation, basically, of the Civil Rights Act of 64, that if you're going to have, want the federal government to be involved in, then you must open it up to all sort of communities. And McKissick was said, fine. But it's designed to have a disparate positive impact on communities of color, particularly African Americans.
So this is a little sideways, but roll with me here. This is the federal government in the substance and policy arm of it, giving money to try to fix a problem that arguably, not really arguably, I guess, the federal government had created, right? The systemic economic disempowerment of a huge fraction of its population. What eventually happens with Soul City?
Sure. So what eventually happens with Soul City is that the funding is slow to come. And in many ways, this is a sort of chicken and egg sort of problem. So the federal government says, if you want the federal government to allocate much of the financial resources, then you must get formal written commitments from industry. So without the federal government's initial financial commitment, industry won't commit. With industry not committing, a workforce won't come into the area to relocate. So this is a long sort of standoff.
Yeah. So you're a professor of history. I don't know how much you like to dabble in counterfactuals, but what if Soul City had worked? What would that have looked like?
In some ways, it would have looked like an additive to what we've seen in the past couple of decades, and that is a remigration of African American South. And this is in part what Soul City was designed to do. And with that, it could have brought in a more robust working and middle class population. African-Americans, but not exclusively African-Americans, to the South. And in many ways, it may have created almost a synergy with a place called the RTP, Research Triangle Park, which is also located in North Carolina and is known as a sort of a major hub of investment and industry, particularly in the areas of science and technology. And so it could have perhaps created this almost synergy with the RTP area. Again, that did not happen. Really, to great disappointment, rather than perhaps Jesse Helms and others working closely with Soul City to make it a success and to bring in industry and tax revenue into that area, they worked to undermine it.
What does this episode tell us about the government's ability to fix these big systemic problems? And does it, do you think, do more harm or more good when it tries?
Well, it shows that government helped to create many of these problems initially, but government also has a possibility to help ameliorate them. Even McKissick himself, greatly frustrated by the bureaucracy and red tape, by the ways in which his hands were tied and how he wanted to basically bring in industry first, but could not because government created all these other stipulations. Despite all these complaints that McKissick had, he also fully appreciated and valued that government was key and critical to really addressing problems of black economic precarity. So and I think he's largely accurate there in that the problems which hamstrung McKissick, i.e. problems of access to capital, still hamstring many Black entrepreneurs and Black business communities and leaders today, this access to capital, which makes government so critical and essential.
Devin Fergus, Professor of History, Black Studies, Public Policy at the University of Missouri. Professor, thanks for your time, sir. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kai.